your colleague, Dr. Reif, told us yesterday what computational toxicology is, but you're doing some things that I think are really cool, and actually things that, if I'm not wrong, maybe 5, 10, 20 years ago wouldn't have even been possible technologically, right?
Right, right. And I have to make a quick correction. I'm actually in the National Risk Management Research Lab.
Excellent.
Only a few people probably even know exists. It's a different group. But yeah, my group, and I work in an area that actually crosses a lot of EPA's different research programs, where we're measuring air pollution levels in very close proximity to highways and other major sources. We're interested in looking at pollution levels over a zone about the size of a football field, and that's about where 45 million Americans live. And what I'm trying to do, because there's an enormous spatial area that we need to collect data over, I've been developing a combination of different technologies to be able to map air pollution. So we're combining an electric vehicle, which has no emissions, which is good. We're not polluting ourselves. And then we have some of the most recently evolved really advanced air pollution equipment that can collect really good data at about 1 second time increments, and then very advanced global positioning systems, so we can drive around at regular driving speeds and be collecting position and air pollutant data at the same time and then turn those into maps. And we're applying this tool to try to understand what the different concentration patterns are in close areas to highways, and we're also trying to understand whether if you design roads in certain ways or roadside structures, does that help reduce air pollution and hopefully improve air quality for people who are living or working in those areas?
One of the things that it says here about your nomination was that you research roadside landscaping to reduce the effects of harmful air pollutants. I have to confess, I've looked from time to time at various types of landscaping or attempts at landscaping that don't work out as well as they should, and I never once thought about how that tied into air pollutants. What's the connection there?
Right. Well, when they're saying landscaping, we're looking at both, really it's tree stands, so something that would really be a pretty dense blockage to airflow, and also looking at noise walls as well, so solid structures and vegetation that what the hope is that when the air is transported from the highway, these structures are basically causing an obstruction and causing the air to lift. And so if you, say, had a playground right behind the road, right behind that wall or tree stand, the concentrations would be lower because the air pollution was lifted and had more time to disperse and pollute.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing we're looking at with measurements and modeling.
How has what you do changed over the last couple of years, either technologically or because of what you've learned, you're developing, what you're learning and moving in a different direction or anything like that?
In my experience, air pollution measurements have enormously changed. So only five to 10 years ago, I was collecting measurements mostly internationally, and I would take one measurement over a 24-hour period and then measure the different chemistry, but a single data point would be over a 24-hour period. So I had very few data points altogether. And now I'm running instruments that collect maybe data on about 100 different variables at 1 second or even faster sometimes. So we're now dealing with these enormous databases. I've basically had to teach myself to be a computer programmer to handle the data. And so that's really been a lot of different skills we're having to develop on the fly to be able to handle it. And I keep having to ask for more computer memory to be able to handle all this data. We just create gigs and gigs and gigs and gigs of data, and we're needing terabyte drives.
Yeah.
So a lot of the changes in technology have been really advanced what we can do with air pollution research and how much we understand about air quality.
Has the data itself changed, or is it just the volume of what you're collecting?
It has changed quite a bit. So, for example, when I was saying I did a 24-hour measurement, that might be, for example, of particles in the air, that might say a measurement about one size range of particles. And now for that same size range of particles, I might have 100 different measurements about what are the different sizes of those particles along the spectrum of sizes. So we're having a lot of more information on the sizes, on the chemistry, and all of this on the fly very quickly.
You know your stuff sufficiently to earn yourself a Presidential Early Career Award for Scientists and Engineers, and I congratulate you on that, and I appreciate you being on to talk about what you're doing today, Dr. Hagler. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.